Revelation chapter 6, and we're looking at the six seals. And you remember, and I shared with you before by way of review, that there is this large scroll, and we see this large scroll in Revelation chapter 5. And this scroll is in the hands of God, but it has to be taken out of his hands, and there was nobody worthy to take it out of his hands. And then someone was found worthy to take it out of God's hands. Who was it that was found worthy? Cynthia? Yeah, Jesus, who is represented as the Lamb of God. He is worthy to take this scroll. This scroll is very important that you understand this. You can't really understand the book of Revelation if you don't understand this. If this kind of draws a blank to you when I'm holding it up, what's this? You don't really understand the book of Revelation. And this will help to unlock it for you. It's a large scroll, and it contains seven seals. All right? Seven seals. And these seals must be broken, and then the scroll is opened up. And so far we've gone through five of these, and we're going to finish these up. But when this scroll is opened up, then things happen. And only the Lord is worthy to break the seals and then unlock the scroll, so to speak, or open the scroll up. Now, the scroll has writing all through it. Once you open it up, you see the writing in there. What is that writing about? What is inside of that scroll once it's opened up? All right, let's try Marion.
Is it God's wrath is going to be poured out?
Very, very important. Not till the seventh seal is opened up do we see God's wrath. It's called the day of the Lord's wrath. Is that what you were going to say, Brother Eddie? Yes, and we're going to, that's the next thing I was going to get. If the scroll, once you open it up, is God's wrath, how many of these seals do you have to open up before you can get to the scroll and get to the wrath? Eddie?
Seven.
Yeah, there's seven seals. Now, once each of these seals are broken, and that's done in Revelation 6, Revelation 5, the Lord is the one that takes the scroll. Why is he the one that takes the scroll? Why does it have to be the Lord? Why not an angel? Why not God himself? The Father just holds the scroll. Denny? You have to have a perfect man. God made the earth not for angels, not just for himself. He made man to rule over the earth. Adam was the king of the earth. He was the king over the king of the beast. He was the king over all. Adam was made to rule, and Eve to rule with him as his queen and helper. And so that is why a man, listen, had to break these, had to hold this scroll, because it's a man that's going to set up the kingdom of God on earth. And that's why John cried, because there was no perfect man who could die for our sins. If somebody's not perfect, they can't die for your sins, and they can't redeem the world back. And so there had to be a perfect man. Thank God there is one, Jesus, who is the Savior. So he's the one that took the scroll. He's the one that can have the seals opened up. And all right, so now these seals are being opened up. Now, if the scroll is God's wrath, not just God's wrath, but a special period of wrath when God will pour out his judgments on the world to destroy the world. It's called the end of the world. The end of the world as we now know it. And the Jews in the Old Testament looked at an age before the coming of the Messiah and the kingdom of God. And then there was a period of wrath between the age that now is and the age when the Lord is going to reign over the world. That period of time between the time that now is and the millennium of Christ is called, get this, the day of the Lord's wrath. It's a special wrath. All right? It's compared to Noah's flood. When God destroyed the world by water, he's going to destroy the world again, but this time it's going to happen during what's called the day of the Lord's wrath, when God is going to directly intervene and judge this world. And how is he going to mainly destroy the world? The second time it was by water. The first time, what is the second time?
Fire.
Fire. And the judgments are fiery judgments. Our God is a consuming fire. And God is getting ready to do that. Now, that wrath, though, listen, is not poured out to cleanse this world until this scroll is open. And all these seals have to be opened up first. So the wrath of God doesn't happen until these seals are opened up. Now, keep in mind that this day of the Lord's wrath that's going to be poured out on this world is going to cleanse the world. It's not going to totally annihilate the world. Let me ask you this. Did Noah's flood totally annihilate the world? No, it did not. Did it change the world a great deal? Absolutely. Before Noah's flood, you didn't have an earthquake. Before Noah's flood, you didn't have hurricanes. You didn't have tornadoes. You had no rain. You had a world that was pretty much moderate, beautiful climate, probably in the mid-70s. Beautiful climate all over the world. And so it was after Noah's flood that all of these things changed, and this judgment was a great judgment of water that changed our climate, and the world's been rocking and reeling ever since that. Now, God says there's going to be one more big judgment of the world, and that's going to be by fire, and that's during the day of the Lord's wrath. That will change the world and make it ready for the lion to lie down with the lamb. It'll bring it back to the kind of world it was before Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. It'll bring it back to before Noah's flood. It'll bring it back to a pristine state. But first, he's got to judge what's here and cleanse what's here and get rid of the pollution what's here. Al Gore's not going to do that. It's got to be done by Jesus in the day of the Lord's wrath. All right? All right, so that's what we're looking forward to. And we've been looking in Revelation 6. Listen to me. This is very important. Not at the Lord's wrath. Not at the day of the Lord's wrath. We've been looking at the breaking of the seals to prepare for the day of the Lord's wrath. So these seals are really, when each one is broken, if they're not actually the wrath of God yet poured out, because the scroll isn't open, what are they? Each seal is a what? Or the seals together are what's? Eddie?
Is the events that's supposed to happen before.
Oh, you're getting it right on, Eddie. Very good. These are events that are prior to it. They happened before it. And each event, listen, will come in succession. By the way, that is why I believe you need to know these events, because if you are the generation that is here for them, you will know the signs of His coming. His coming is not, as most people have been taught, this is what I believe from the Bible, that it's not an any moment signless event. When we say the Lord's coming is imminent, it won't happen today. I know that sounds shocking to some of you. It won't happen today. It will happen very possibly in your lifetime and in my lifetime. When it does, you will, if you know the signs of events, you will know each one in succession. It will help you to be prepared better for that. And when we're looking for the Lord's coming, we're looking for signs. Have you ever been on a trip and you look for certain road signs to tell you you're getting near to your destination, maybe to encourage you you're on the right track? Well, that's what these signs are. And when you see them, you'll know, hey, he's getting closer. We know. And we already know that some of these signs are being prepared and set up ahead of time, but they haven't opened up yet until we get to Daniel's 70th week. All right? Now, let's go back to Revelation 6. And real quickly, we want to look at what is the first seal? What is it called? When it's opened up, what happens? Cynthia? A white horse coming out representing false Christ and false peace. We believe that's peace in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinian Authority and her Arab neighbors. There'll be a false peace in the Middle East. And right now there's a big push for a peace in the Middle East. We believe also there'll be false Christ. And that will be in conjunction with Israel making a covenant with the head of the revived Roman Empire, the European Union. And And that will cause them to be able to rebuild their temple sometime after that covenant is made. They'll no doubt rebuild their temple, and that will start up a great hysteria about Christ, and there'll be false Christ that will come presenting themselves as Christ. Even the Islamic Christ, we believe, will be pushing at that time. And then secondly, there'll be a seal opened up, and that will be what? The Red Horse of War. There's going to be a world war starting in the Middle East. Egypt will attack Israel. Syria then will attack Israel. And then a coalition of nations will come down with the old Soviet Union, Turkey, Iran, all of these nations. Before they come down, I believe the Western nations will come into the Middle East under the direction of the Jewish Antichrist, who's fled and gone there to get the armies. They'll come in. They'll take over Syria, come down. And at that time, then that big coalition of the Western nations, the European Union nations, then that will be met by the Soviet Union, Iran, Turkey, all of these nations, by the way, which are getting ready for a big war, and it's going to be a huge war over there in the Middle East, and it could spill over. We know it's going to involve 1/4 of the world's land area, 1/4 of the world's land area. And then the third seal is opened up, the result of that war, and that will be what? Black horse of what? Famine, food shortages, and we're already starting to get scares about that. But there's going to be major food shortages, and it's going to be really bad, and bad famine time, and food shortages, and especially centering in the Middle East. These are called all these seals, and the fourth seal is opened up, and that is a what kind of horse? It looks real pale. It looks like a corpse. It's kind of sickly, greenish, palish, corpse. And when that's opened up, that shows death or plague. It looks like the word there for death is killer diseases, pestilence. Matthew 24 says the same thing. In other words, it looks like biological weapons are used in this war. And now the result of that is continuing plagues. Some of you, you see this on TV today. They have things that talk about this kind of stuff. That program called 24 deals with a lot of these things, counterterrorism. Well, it's going to be really bad. And these things are going to happen in the world. Now, people say, well, no Christian will see this. We're not ordained to wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to be up out of here, out of the wrath of God. Yeah, problem is, buddy, it's not the wrath of God yet. You haven't seen the wrath of God yet. You mark it down. I'm telling you the truth. And I'll show you from the Bible. I've been showing you. It's not the wrath of God. You heard some teacher and you got it wrong. All right? You're close, but no cigar. You don't have it. So all I'm saying is these things are going to happen. Don't be surprised when you see them on the news and so forth. Know that the Lord's coming is getting closer. Getting closer. Okay? And then, after these food shortages and after these pestilence, and by the way, it says that the animals of the earth, I was just talking to Daniel as we were coming back about this, that the animals of the earth after this war will be so hungry that they will literally attack you and I or people for food in these areas of food shortage, especially in this 1/4 of the earth that is part of this famine. They will attack people. In this 1/4 of the earth that has this famine, they will attack them. And you'll have to have guns to shoot animals away, from food supplies and so on and so forth. So it's a time of great death. There'll be looters. The Bible says people will die from the sword. They'll die from the beast. They'll die from these biological weapons. All the aftermath of this war. Well, what is the sword? They'll die from the sword. Well, it's not the war now. That was the great sword. It seems to be the looters or people that are trying to get food supply. And remember Hurricane Katrina and all the people that tried to loot, and people needed guns to scare people away. And I'm so glad the Supreme Court voted 5-4 that in America we have a right to bear arms. These people, these liberals that say, get rid of your guns, get rid of your guns. That's what will bring safety and peace. They're a bunch of liars. And they're totally deceived. Adolf Hitler did that in Germany. Did you know that? He got rid of everybody's guns. He had them turn in their guns. Why? Well, because, you see, if you don't have a gun, you can't prevent crime. One time I had a guy bust into our house. He came up the stairs of our house, and he was crazed. He was a guy in my church. He'd gone crazy. And I got a call from people. They said he just busted into their house. They were in bed. It was a married couple. They were in bed. And he busted into their house. Then he came, and he's going after the pastor's house. He was crazy. And saw him come to the top of the stairs. Got my gun out. I said, get out of here. And he kicked at me. Now, I could have squeezed off right then. I didn't. I said, look, there are children here. My wife's here. You better leave. He saw the gun. He left. Good idea. Later on, I helped that man. I helped him get work done in a hospital and helped him and helped him with that problem. Unfortunately, later on, he killed himself. But you need to realize that guns are not the enemy. Criminals are the enemy. If you get legalization removal of guns, the criminals will keep their guns, you see? And the early founding fathers, they knew that a wise citizenry would be able to prevent more crimes with guns than not, if they're properly, lawfully under authority. And that's the way it should be. You know, lawful. Of course, there are laws to have proper authority, but that's the way it should be. So that's what's going to happen after that fourth seal. And then those are called the beginning of sorrows by Jesus in Matthew 24. Then the fifth seal is opened up. And the fifth seal, you don't see a horse. What do you see under the altar in heaven? What do you see after the fifth seal? And by the way, this fifth seal happens 3.5 years, right in the middle of the 7 years. What do you see in heaven after the fifth seal is opened up? We've just seen the beginning of sorrows. What do you see? Quickly. Bobby?
The souls of the saints that were slain.
Yes, the souls of the saints that were slain for the testimony of the Word of God. That's called the Great Tribulation. No flesh, Jesus said, would be saved except those days were shortened of tribulation. Now, when he says no flesh, he's not talking about the world in general. He's talking about saved flesh, God's elect flesh. They would not be saved unless those days were shortened, because that will be the persecution of those that stand for the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus, and don't take the mark of the beast. That's called the tribulation, the Great Tribulation. And that will start right in the middle of the 7 years, and it will be cut short by what we're looking at today. All right, it's going to be cut short because it will continue under the control of the two beasts of Revelation 13, the head of the European Union, the beast of the European Union, and then the beast out of the earth, the false Jewish Antichrist. Those two beasts are going to have a great persecution of everybody that doesn't take the mark of the beast, and that will start right in the middle. By the way, the Great Tribulation does not start until the middle of the 7 years. All right? What's at the beginning of the 7 years? Not a tribulation, not tribulation. It'll be the beginning of sorrows. And then starts the Great Tribulation. All right? Right in the middle. It'll be cut short by what we're going to look at today. And so let's go over here real quick today and turn to Revelation chapter 6. And I want you to see this in Revelation chapter 6 and look at verse 12. It says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." Somebody had mentioned that there'll be a great earthquake. "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Okay, so great earthquake, tremendous shaking, tremendous sign in the heaven. It's so great that everything's going to become dark. Probably the electrical grid will cut off. It'll become dark all over the world. Even if you're in daytime, it'll be dark. And then it says, look at the response in verse 15. "And the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, this is the opening of which one of these seals? The sixth seal. And what is now being announced that it's going to happen right now? Say that again. The wrath of God, the wrath of the Lord, the wrath of the Lamb who died for our sins is coming back as a lion, and he is going to pour out his wrath. You think there's just wrath in the Old Testament? No, there's wrath with the Lamb. He said, woe to the Pharisees. If we reject Jesus Christ, there's greater judgment to look forward to. The Bible says that in the book of Hebrews. And this is the wrath of the Lamb that's going to be poured out on the earth. And people think they're getting away with all the sin and all the craziness that's going on, the partying that's going on in America. And you hear of people like Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and all the party girls, and they're exalted and they make all this money. God is going to pour out his wrath on this world and cleanse this world of all that debauchery. And this will be the announcement of it. And when it happens, there'll be this earthquake. There'll be this darkening of the sky, and people will literally run and hide themselves because they know that the wrath of God is coming on the world. And wait a minute here. When this announcement is made, what do you think that will do to the Antichrist and the beast when they try to kill saints and arrest saints? What will they do when this happens? Eddie?
Stop them in their tracks.
Stop them right in their tracks. Whoa, what's going on here? Whoa, the wrath of God is about to come. Now, if you're here and you're part of the last generation that goes into the 70th week, would you see this?
Yes.
Yes, you would. You would see this. You would see this. Luke's gospel says when this happens, you rejoice because you know that the coming of the Lord is now imminent, and your redemption or your rescue is really imminent. It's going to happen, and it'll be a time of great rejoicing. Now, the Lord is going to pour out his wrath, and what does he use? By the way, does anybody know what chapter the wrath begins to be poured out in Revelation? Brother Bob.
8:7.
Oh, he's got it. Chapter 8, right down to verse 7, right on the button. And it's also going to be finalized with the bowl judgments, which are mentioned in chapter 15. So you've got chapter 8 with the trumpet judgments, and then it's culminated with the bowl judgments in Revelation 15. And that will happen sometimes during the second 3.5 years. We don't know the day or the hour when it will start, because we don't know the day or the hour of the Lord's second coming, which this begins the second coming. It's part of what announces the second coming. It's not happened quite yet. So the wrath of God is poured out in chapter 8. And who does God give the role to begin this burning fiery wrath, to burn up people? Who is given the job to do it? Brother Bob.
That would be the angels.
All right, very important you understand this. There's a parable in Matthew 13. Please turn back to Matthew 13. I was bothered by this parable. Didn't seem to fit in with some of the things I've been saying. And then I looked this over before for this lesson, and there it was. Matthew 13 and verse number 30. It's a parable of the Lord. And he told about the Lord sowing a seed with good seed and then putting tares in there. And they were not to be harvested until the harvest time, the end of the world. And then he would be able to separate the wheat from the tares. Okay? So look at Matthew 13 and verse 30. It says in verse 30, let them grow together, that's the wheat and the tares, until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, by the way, he says later, the reapers are what? Angels. And he says, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. Now, it's interesting. The gathering together of the tares, before they're actually burned, they're gathered together and bound into bundles. How is that going to be done? How do you gather together? See, the tares look like the wheat until they get to the full point of harvest. Then they look a lot different than the wheat. When you're growing wheat and tares, tares look just like wheat until you get to the harvest time, and then they look very different. So that's why the Lord says, wait till the harvest, and then you're going to gather the tares together, and you're going to bind them into bundles, and then I'll burn them. And the burning is the day of the Lord's wrath. But what's the gathering and the binding of the tares into bundles where you really see the difference between the saved and the lost, where it becomes very clear? Brother Bob.
Well, I would say that would be in reference to the wine press of Armageddon, when he sends the frogs out and he gathers all the remnants of the king's armies together for the battle that great day.
Okay.
That's when he gathers them all for that final outpouring of wrath.
Okay. And those demons in that case are the frogs, and that are gathering them together. All right? All right. Anybody else? Marion?
Well, I have two thoughts.
Okay.
One thought is... whoever takes the mark of the beast
okay. Would
be the evil ones, and the other would be after the rapture.
Okay, all right. She says whoever takes the mark of the beast would be the evil ones. And that's what I want to propound to you right here. Because the burning has not taken place yet. The day of the Lord's wrath has not taken place yet in our study here. And as we go back to Matthew 13, there has to be an identification of the saved and the lost. What would better gather into bundles? What would better identify the ones to be judged and the one to be burned, but those that take the mark of the beast? Listen to me. Are those that take the mark of the beast identified as lost forever?
Yes.
Yes. That identifies them. And you may have people that are in the church right here. God forbid it would be any of you. But when it comes time to take that mark of the beast, these people will take it. And right away it was seen that they had a head faith, had a dead faith, they were never saved, never had Jesus in their heart and life, and therefore they took that mark of the beast. They claim to be Christian, but they're not really born again. And they took that mark of the beast. So when they take that mark, that binds them, and that identifies them. And the angels will have part in that, in the sense that Michael and his angels will withhold and stand down and not hinder the work of the Antichrist and the beast of allowing this to happen, because it's all fitting into God's purpose. Now, once that happens and the mark is taken during the tribulation, now God's wrath is ready to be let go. Now, the tribulation will be to the saints the greatest time of persecution and trouble ever for saints in the world. What will it be to the people that take the mark of the beast? What will the tribulation be like to them? Bobby?
It'll be a time of economic and social prosperity.
Exactly. Economic and social prosperity. They will think they've entered the millennium. They will think that heaven on earth has come. They will think it's the wonderful time. And that's going to be a time of great peace and prosperity and great joy. But God says, nope, you're being gathered together into bundles. You're like a sow that's getting fed and fed and fed, and you're going to be butchered. You're going to be judged. And so, man, mercy, it's so important that you know that you're saved, that you know that Jesus is in your life, and that you are walking by faith right now and learning to walk with the Lord, and that's preparing us for the future. And then when the sixth seal is broken, that will be, okay, now the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the earth. But, when this all happens, to prepare for this wrath of God, go to Revelation 13 a moment. Revelation 13. And go to verse 11. I want you to see what the beast is doing. This is during the tribulation. Revelation 13 and verse 11. It says, and I beheld another beast. This is the second beast out of the earth, which out of the land of Israel, Jew. He had two horns like a lamb, like the Christ, and he spake like a dragon from Satan. And he exercised all the power of the first beast, the head of the European Union, before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to go worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven and so forth. He deceives people. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now, what's he saying to them? He is saying to them, I want you people that have gone along with the beast. He didn't call him the beast, no doubt. Our great leader. I want you to make a statue. That's what an image is. A statue in the likeness of this beast. And people all over the world will make statues. Some will be made of wood. Some will be made of stone. Some will be made of gold. Some will be made of silver. But they'll have statues in different houses and different places. And that will happen all over the world. It's very interesting when that happens, that image of the beast has the ability to do things. Now, go back to Revelation 9 and verse 20. Revelation 9 and verse 20. And it says there, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, this is during the day of the Lord's wrath, that they should not worship devils. You see that? These people, during the tribulations, took this statue and made it, and it says that they're worshiping devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. It talks about this in Isaiah 2:20 about these idols. And the people at first will throw them down, but they're going to pick them up again. And they're going to use these idols and they're going to worship these idols that can't hear, speak, or talk. But they're also going to worship devils. How is it that these people are going to make idols that are going to be in the likeness of the beast and at the same time be worshiping devils? Does anybody know what happens here, Brother Bob?
Well, it says Michael will take his spiritual hand off of the world this time and will not combat the powers of devils and spirits and principalities. So they'll have free roaming.
Yes.
So there will be countless demons that will be able to inhabit these things themselves.
All right. Very good. Right in the middle of the 70th week, Michael and the evil angel Satan fight in heaven. The evil angels are cast out. They come to the earth. This begins the tribulation time. And the beast, the second beast, will have the power to command these demons to go into these idols. So the people will have made these statues already. They'll have these statues all over the world. But right in the middle of the 7 years, demons will come into these statues. So they've been kind of bowing down to the beast and worshiping him through his image, which is just a lifeless, inanimate image. Now, get this. Now demons are actually, each demon is assigned to a statue. So if you have one of these images in your house, a demon comes and he's right in your house and he's inside that statue. Now, he can talk. Statue can't talk, but he can talk. He can't move around because even demons, like, remember when Christ put the demons from the Gadarene demoniac into the pigs, the pigs ran. The demons had to inhabit the pigs. So the demons have to have something, either a thing or an animal to go into, or a person. And that's how they function. Once the beast puts them in the images, they will be able to talk. And they will be able to identify people that don't bow down and don't worship the beast through the images. And what, according to the Bible, are they going to say to these people that they need to do to these people that are not worshiping the images? Denny?
Kill
them. Kill them. So here you have a system, wherever these images are across the world, whereby a person that doesn't worship the Antichrist can be identified and killed. And it's very important, therefore, not to go around those images. They can't run around. The images can't, like, you know, tool around like Chucky or something, you know. They have to be in one place. They've got to be in one place, and they've got to stay in that one place, and they then can identify anybody that comes across their path. But keep in mind, they're everywhere, in people's homes and everything like that. That tells you the importance of separation, amen, from ungodly. Yes?
At this point, are we as believers still here on earth?
That's a very good question. Very good question. Are we as believers still here on earth? This is during the time of the fifth seal, okay? Now, we will be here for that. Yes, that's the tribulation. However, they will continue to worship these images even during the time when the Lord's wrath is being poured out. Literally shaking their fist at God. Literally shaking for the fiery judgments that he's pouring out on them. And that's how unrepentant, unsaved man is. That even during the Lord's wrath, they will not repent of that. And even after the rapture, because the rapture is going to take place, we see it in Revelation 7, between the sixth and the seventh seal. It's got to be before the seventh seal, because the seventh seal signals the wrath of God is now poured out, is poured out. So with the trumpet and bowl judgment. So the rapture takes place between the sixth and the seventh seal. All right. And by the way, you can find that in Revelation chapter 7, where you have the sealing of the 144,000, and then you have the great multitude in heaven crying salvation or deliverance by rapture, and they're all before the throne having been raptured out of tribulation. Yes?
Yeah, another question is, during this time before the seventh seal is
open,
can people get saved?
Yes. People can get saved.
They haven't taken the mark of the beast already.
Yes. The gospel of the kingdom, it says, will be preached in all the world for a witness during this time. People haven't taken the mark of the beast, and they haven't. Then they could be saved. You know, somebody's got the mark of the beast. You don't witness to that person. Many Christians at that point will go into hiding, though. They'll go into hiding, just like the Lord talks about in Matthew 24 about fleeing when you see the abomination of desolation. Many Christians before that will go into hiding and preparation for this time. But it is a clear teaching of the Word of God. We need to understand it. And we'll see you next week.